Hi, I'm Stacey Shoemaker-Rown, Editor-in-Chief of Hospitality Design Magazine, with HD's What I've Learned podcast. This week, I sat down with Ennismore's Charlie North, who has been leading the hotel developer's interiors practice since 2015 after cutting his teeth with the likes of the late David Collins and Martin Brzezinski. Recently named to our 2019 Wave of the Future class, Charlie's behind the hip Hoxton brand's growth stateside, as well as the redo of the posh Glen Eagles in Scotland, creating thoughtful, layered spaces that encourage guests to linger. Today's podcast is sponsored by Global Allies. I'm here with Adam from Global Allies. Adam, how many different brands do you guys work with?
We work with everybody. I keep telling you, people like to sit.
Global Allies. People like to sit. Hi, I'm here with Charlie North of Ennismore in the Hoxton. Hi, Charlie. Thanks Hi. So much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So you grew up in the northwest of London, right?
Yeah, a small village, actually, just outside of London.
Okay.
So I was always like a 20-minute train journey away, but it's good. It's nice growing up with fields in the slightly in the countryside.
Right. And did you always know you wanted to be a designer? Was design part of your childhood at all?
My mother was a landscape designer when I was a kid, so I always looked at her technical drawings. She used to do these massive sheets with trace paper and like and a pen, and used to scratch out when you make mistakes. And she had always had this massive drawing board in the living room. So I saw that and I was inspired by that when I was a kid, and it must have stuck with me.
That's awesome. Was your dad at all involved in anything creative?
I think I've taken inspiration from both of my parents in their careers, but just for very different reasons. My dad was in human resources, and I think just the whole people management and communications and relationships, that side of thing, I think has really affected me as well. I definitely take inspiration from both of their careers.
Very cool. And you studied product design at school when you were a teenager.
I did study product design, and I did. My model was, my product that I designed was a scale model of a restaurant that I designed, and I completely flunked the course because product design is all about materials and systems and processes and production, and mine was just a one-off model of a scheme that I designed. But hey, got me to where I am now. So,
did you ever go back to the teacher and like, look what I did?
I never did. I should do that. But.
And then did you actually end up going to school for design?
Yeah, I knew at that point that I wanted to do interior design. So I went to study on the south coast of England. There's a university called Bournemouth, and I did a Bachelor of Arts degree there, which was a four-year course. And yeah, that was the beginning.
And did that cement it? Was there ever a question? Or sometimes school can either make it good or bad.
I think there was a time when I was in my career in the early days, I was really passionate about branding and that side of the graphic design as well. And I thought maybe there could be an avenue, but actually my director at the time said, stick to what you're good at. And if you're good at it, just work hard and see where it goes. So I did.
That's awesome. And what was your first job out of school?
I worked for a company called David Collins Studio, which is London based. I started there when I was still at university. I did a year long internship, which turned into a full time job. And he was an iconic designer, still well known across the globe, actually, and doing sort of high end projects and an inspiring person to work for.
Yeah, what did you learn from working with him?
It was a baptism of fire. It was hard work. It was, he was a challenging person to work for, but also really inspiring. You learn how to do things properly and take care and attention to on all the details, and you sort of roll with the punches, and it was great.
Were there any cool projects that you worked on with him and the team?
I started out working on a residential project, which was pretty expensive house in West London, and I just learned there how to do details and how to really pay attention. At that point I didn't have much interaction with the clients, which is a good thing. I was just learning how to deal with site and contractors and everything, so that was great. And then I worked on restaurant spaces within Fortnum & Mason, which is a department store in London, which is it's a well-established department store.
Very cool. And how long were you there, and what did you do next?
I was at David Collins for in total about 18 months, and then I decided to leave to go to South Africa, and I did a volunteering program in South Africa for 3 months. It was a condensed, my version of a gap year, just a condensed 3 months, just to experience something completely different, take me out of my comfort zone, and it was an amazing experience, and it was definitely life-changing. It's a really amazing time in my life.
What was the project that you were working on there?
So I worked in a preschool working with 4 and 5 year olds, and just you learn small actions and small things that you give to kids that it becomes a huge part of their life, and it's really it's an amazing experience to see and just to experience kids as well, because I wasn't used to that being a 23-year-old from London. But
as a mother of three, not 23, I can still say you learn something new every single day. So that's amazing. And I mean, to take that leap and just leave a career that was, you know, slowly building takes a lot. I mean, was that always something you wanted to do, or was an opportunity that kind of fell into your lap? Or
I feel like it was sort of an opportunity to have a bit of a break from personal sort of life circumstances, and I just wanted to get away for a little bit. But also I felt that doing 18 months with David Collins was it was a great experience, and it was tough, and I was ready to experience something else and work somewhere else.
Got it. So you come back from South Africa.
Yeah.
What do you do then?
I hit a recession.
Perfect.
Came back to London just about the worst time possible. And I freelanced for 2 or 3 months, just doing random jobs for small design studios in London. And then I got lucky and I landed a job with Martin Brudnitsky Design Studio. And that was the next 5 years of my life, which was another roller coaster ride.
So going from David Collins to South Africa and then Martin Brudnitsky, who is becoming a rising star in this industry at the time, what was that like? You know, what was it like working for him?
It was amazing. It was, the company was 25 when I started, and by the time I left 5 years later, it was about 55, and an office opening up in New York at the same time. It was, for me, it was the first time I got to work with my own clients, so I had that sort of opening. I worked on Chaconis in West Hollywood. That was my first chance to learn how to draw in feet and inches, so getting used to your way of working. I worked on a 5-star hotel in Saudi Arabia. I worked on commercial property development, and then I had an amazing opportunity with a residential project, which was 18 months working on a Georgian manor house in the West Country of England, and it was stunning. It had sort of a pool house, it had tennis courts, a walled garden, orchards, and it was amazing.
Almost like a small resort.
Yeah, in itself.
Was there one project that, you know, really challenged you, or was a project that you loved or that you learned the most from while you were with him?
I would say that one, the big residential project. It was the first time that I really ran a project completely alone, and I was doing site visits twice a week, and just really having that personal relationship with the client. Which was an amazing opportunity. Tough, really tough, but yeah, it was great.
Was there a takeaway from it? Something that you still kind of keep with you?
How to roll with the punches and not piss off your clients. It was definitely just, there were challenging times for sure, but at the end of it, we had a great relationship by the end of the project.
And so how did you end up switching over to Ennismore?
So I had, after Martin's, I had a 4-year stint with a startup company, which was a small firm called Alexander Waterworth Interiors. And we built, the company was, I was the third in the company, and we built the studio to sort of 15, 20 people. And I learned so much through that process of scaling a company from small to mid-size relative to most interior design firms. But then I got introduced by a mutual contact to Sharan, our CEO. And it was just, it was just an amazing opportunity. I just couldn't say no to. It was always my ambition from a few years to be a design director for a hospitality company, international hospitality company. And the way Sharan was going, it was definitely a big opportunity.
So real quick, let's go back to Alexander Waterworth. So you watched Martin Brudnitsky grow from 25 to 55. You were there at the beginning of Alexander Waterworth. Was there Is there something you can tell people that are, you know, growing a company or starting a company, or, you know, kind of a lesson learned that you figured out between the two on what it takes to grow correctly?
I think I'm still figuring that out. I think that you just come across hurdles, but I think the most important thing actually is finding the right team, and you should take time to get the right people on board. I think if you rush into things, which I have seen in some places I've worked, and you just hire anyone, the relationship just isn't there. You need to be with people that you really trust. You don't need egos in your team. You need good design synergy and good banter as well. Just someone that you can have good relationship with.
Right. And what kind of projects did you work on at Alexander Waterworth?
We did everything from fish and chip shop restaurants in London to a private residence in central London worth a crazy £50 million project or something. So it was a real mix. It was like, yeah, such a great experience. The first project we did was like a £5,000 design fee, and it was just for a sort of boutique cafe deli. And it was, it was a loss-making project, but it got us a lot of Instagram followings, and it got us a lot of likes on social media. So kind of that's a good way to get yourself out there.
Right. And how did you know the two partners? Were you friends with them?
Or? So yeah, we worked together at Martin Brunitzky.
Okay.
So the two guys who were the owners of the business, they left independently actually, and then they decided that they would team up. And then they quite quickly came to me and said, do you want to join the team? And I was like, well, that's an opportunity. So yeah.
All right. So fast forward now back to Sharon. Mm-hmm. And did they have, what point was Ennismore and the Hoxton at when you joined?
So Sharon had three trading hotels. He had just opened the Hoxton in Amsterdam, and he had just purchased Gleneagles, which is our sort of iconic luxury hotel in Scotland. So really that was it at that point. There was probably a team of maybe 40 people in the main HQ. Sorry, I'm not allowed to say HQ.
That's you can say HQ.
It's probably a team of about 40 or 50 people in the office when I joined. And we went from there. It was already three or four projects in the pipeline as far as Hoxton's concerned. Sharon already had an ambition to do a budget hotel, which is on the pipeline. And yeah, we basically just got crazy from that point. And we started finding sites in Europe and across America. We very quickly opened Paris. We then opened, just last year, we opened Williamsburg and Portland. This year is Chicago. We're opening Los Angeles and Southwark in London. So that's just not stopped from that point.
And for those that may have never gone to a Hoxton or seen it in the pages of HD, because we're big fans, can you tell us a little bit what the brand stands for and what you guys are trying to create?
I think when Sharon first started the Hoxton, he just wanted to avoid the piss off factor. So he wanted to avoid additional costs when you check out, and he just wanted to avoid all the things about a hotel experience, an old hotel experience, that were wrong and were just annoying, and just get rid of that and just keep it really casual and a really nice place to go chill out, residential feeling. You can hang out in the lobby, you don't get sort of quizzed for being there. It's supposed to be, Sharon always calls it, it's a restaurant and a lobby with rooms, not a hotel with a lobby.
So Amsterdam was the first one when you joined, and then you've been expanding the brand, the one in Williamsburg. So like you did at Martin and Alexander Waterworth, you've been where you grew a team, now you are growing a brand. What has it been like to grow a brand and be such an integral part of it?
I mean, every team within the company has had to evolve a lot, and we've learned so much, and we're still learning. From an interior design perspective, we've learned how to build brand standards, but still allow for creative freedom. And also from a branding perspective, how to scale and how to be relevant to your local community, which is the most important thing for the Hoxton. So yeah, we've learned about the sort of the nuances in different cities and the way that culture affects how people use hotels as well. For example, in Italy, we've learned that the Italians stand for coffee. They go to a coffee shop and they stand at the counter, have an espresso, and then 3 minutes later, they've left. And that doesn't really sit with a traditional Hoxton lobby. We design places where people can sit for hours just drinking tea, drinking coffee, and just having pastries. So in Italy, for example, we have to approach it in a slightly different way. And that's just one classic example of mixing with the cultures.
Right. And have you had to grow your team as well to accommodate all these new properties?
Yeah, when I joined, my team was three people, including me. So I built a studio we're currently about 20, but the reality is we should probably be 40 with the amount of pipeline projects and the amount of work we have going on. Which has been, it's been a great experience as well. It's been 3 years of steady recruitment. We found some great people, and my team are everything.
And because you do a lot of the design in-house, right? Along with, you know, outside designers and other collaborators.
Yeah, we do. We take on as many projects as we can. The reality is we have a limited resource capacity. But also I think it's good. We like to work with external design firms because you learn something from working with different people. And you can be inspired by other designers' work. So it's not something we shy away from.
Right. How do you go about finding the right collaborators to bring in?
Yeah, I think it's as hard as it is to recruit team internally, really. You've really got to find a design partner that you can relate to, you can have a good time with. They understand the brand and the values, and they've got great taste.
Yeah. Speaking of understanding the brand, I mean, you guys have really, as you said, you're more of a restaurant with a lobby and rooms. So you're really innovating how people use a lobby. And at the same time, you guys are also looking at co-working and meeting space in different ways. Could you kind of elaborate on what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think it's always been important that the Hoxton lobby is somewhere that you can go and take your time. You can go any time of the day. Lots of people have set up and run businesses from the Hoxton lobby, and I think it's therefore quite a natural evolution for us to build a co-working concept where it's an extension of our lobby, essentially. The membership of our co-working is called Working From. So, for example, Working From Southwark and Working From Chicago. So the membership is all based around being an extension of our lobby. So it starts off just with access to the lobby space within Working From, and it goes up. You can have hot desking, you can rent your own offices, or you can have dedicated desks. The same as a lot of co-working spaces, but ours is sort of founded around having communal areas where you can just relax, and you can work from a couch, you can work from your bed. We've actually designed a bed concept where it feels like you're really in your living room. You've got a TV, you've got like a couch that you can just sit back on and just take your time.
That's really cool. And are these integrated into the hotels? Are they separate spaces, or is it kind of a mixture of both?
They are floors within hotels. So in Southwark, we have 7 floors of co-working space. And in Chicago, we have 2 floors. And who knows, maybe there'll be other sites in the future that are separate buildings. I don't know.
And what has the response been? Has it been positive? Have people been, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of interest. We only launched 2 weeks ago officially, and we don't have our sites open yet. The sites will open in September this year, September and October. But the response has been really, really great. From on social media, we've had lots of people seeing it and approaching us, asking for memberships and prices, and also just the design community are really interested in what's next. And people are interested in what's next from Ennismore, because it seems like there's just a lot of different concepts coming out at the moment.
So what is next for Ennismore?
Sharan keeps his cards quite close to his chest, but for good reason. But I think who knows? There's a lot more Hoxtons to come. We're toying with. We have the budget brand, which is coming soon, and we're toying with another luxury product at the moment. But we'll see. Time will tell.
So you're rethinking lobbies. You're rethinking co-working space. Why is it important to keep innovating?
I think there's so much competition. There's so many people doing so many amazing things in the hospitality world at the moment. So we have to keep one eye on the future. Sharan actually sets up 23 Lab, which is our innovations lab. So we've got a team of people dedicated to just researching the future, and not really working on any specific project, but just generally on all of the projects, what could be possible in the future and what trends are happening and what we predict will happen in certain cities and countries in the next 2 or 3 years. Because at the end of the day, when you're designing a hotel, you're designing it now, and some of our properties don't open for 18, 24 months, maybe even 3 years. So we've really got to be thinking ahead of the game.
It's really interesting. Are you guys, is there anything you get, can pinpoint that you guys are looking at right now?
I mean, there's a huge push on sustainable design, which there has been for years, but it's now is a great time. There's great opportunities for us to think about how restaurants can be sustainable, not just from a design perspective, but from the food waste is a huge thing. Endless opportunities, lots of things coming up.
Have you guys looked at taking not only just sustainability, but also wellness? Is that something that is of importance?
Yeah, it is a huge factor. Certainly for Glen Eagles, we're looking at the wellness concept at the moment. And for a new project that is sort of pipeline at the moment, which I can't say too much about, but wellness is a huge element of it. And how people use spas and gyms. And at the end of the day, a lot of people that use the Hoxton Hotel are business travelers. And when people travel for work these days, they like to stay fit at the same time. And I think people travel so much these days that they need to stay active and healthy, and work can't get in the way of that. So make an environment at their hotel where they're encouraged to be fit and healthy and active. And that's got to be a positive. Yeah.
And the Innovation Lab, do they come and do presentations, or are they just gathering info, or how does that infiltrate the rest of the team?
Yeah, I mean, they organize talks for everyone to attend in the business. They go off and do research in different cities that we might be working in, and they give presentations to us, and then we get the feedback to them as well. So it's collaborative working. That's the intention.
Got it. And do you guys get feedback on your designs in your hotels? How much does that take into effect of what you do next?
We get a lot of feedback. And actually, we're just starting a concept where we have a test room in one of our existing properties where we get to try out new things. And 23 Lab are actually introducing new things that we can try out in the hotel. So guests can actually directly feedback to us. They're asked to feedback to us and tell us how successful our ideas are. And I think you've got to listen to your guests at the end of the day. You have to listen to feedback.
Speaking of luxury, can we touch a little bit on Glen Eagles?
Yeah.
Since that was such an iconic, redo. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you guys went through the process?
Yeah, Sharan had just purchased Glen Eagles when I joined the business, and he needed someone with a mixture of experiences to oversee design for different types of projects. Glen Eagles was an amazing opportunity. When I first went, you hear a lot of hype about it because it's so iconic, and it was sort of the early 1920s when the building opened, and it's got such a history and such a story. But I was slightly disappointed by the interior design when I went there at first, because it really had just been, it had been a bit run down. It hadn't been looked after, and we had an amazing opportunity. We partnered with some great design firms, and at that point I had a team of three, like I said. So yeah, we partnered with other firms, but also they created some amazing spaces for us. And for the last 3.5 or 4 years, we've been constantly refurbishing different spaces, and it's been an ongoing battle, but it's a great project.
When you talked about the Hoxton, you want to bring the community in. I feel like people probably had a lot of opinions on what the Glen Eagles should be and shouldn't be.
Yeah, there was some newspaper articles talking about the London hipsters taking over an iconic institution. But Sharan, that was never on his radar to bring even an element of the Hoxton. I think that there's elements of the DNA of Hoxton that you can take to a hotel, but stylistically it was never going to be anything like the Hoxton. We always look back to our roots for design inspiration and look back to the roots of the business. So we're really playing off the glorious playground of the 1920s, and there's a lot of fun to have with that.
Right. And you worked with multiple design firms, right? There's like at least 4 or 5.
We've worked with David Collins Studio, we've worked with Goddard Little Fair, we've worked with Macaulay Sinclair, just all at Glen Eagles. And yeah, we've taken over. We used other design firms for the first sort of year, 2 years of the project, to a point where I had a team that was really capable of delivering. And we've done some amazing projects. We've had amazing opportunities with the projects that we've worked on there. So yeah, we feel like we've made some great spaces. And the evolution of the hotel outside of design and has been incredible. And there's always been the most incredible service when you go to Gleneagles. And it's so much more than just about design. It's about the overall experience and the hospitality service in general.
Is there one room or space that you're most excited about at the hotel, or one that you think you really brought back that glamour in?
I'm going to be biased because we've just finished the Strathern restaurant at Gleneagles, which it was a long project for us, but it's been an amazing journey, and it's really transformed. It's a high-end restaurant, white tablecloths, all of the toys, like swags and towels on the curtains, brass details, crystal chandeliers. It's an amazing space, and we had a lot of fun working on that project.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up to speed for today.
Yeah. So yeah, all of the history that you would expect and the service that you would expect, but today with modern food.
Got it. And has there been a hotel, a Hoxton hotel, that you know you've been really proud of, or was a really great challenge that you guys figured out amazing solutions for of late?
I think at Williamsburg, we had lots of challenges on the construction front. It was a long project, and I think the locals are waiting for a long time for that project to open, but we got there in the end. The best thing actually is that we get such a mixture of opportunities. We have some new builds, which they have their own challenges, because trying to create an authentic space in a new build can be challenging. But we also have buildings from the early 1900s in, for example, downtown Los Angeles. We've got buildings in Paris from the 1700s. It's just, we're really lucky that we've got such a mix. And we'll take on any challenge.
Right. We've interviewed Sharon, your CEO, a couple of times, and he's just this dynamic person. I mean, he once told me that, you know, hiring is one of the most important things that he focuses on, and he doesn't usually, you know, hire usual suspects and will meet people and, you know, try to bring them in. So I was always inspired by that. But what have you learned from working with him the past few years, and what, you know, what has been your, you know, maybe best piece of advice that he's given you?
I've learned so much from Sharon over the last few years. I think working for such a dynamic and ambitious entrepreneur can be challenging. I think that we've overcome a lot of challenges, and we have a lot of fun working together as well. I've also realized what's possible if you say, how could we, rather than I don't know how. And I think Sharon's taught me that, because I think we have so many potential problems and things that are challenges, but it's finding ways to solve them. And yeah, Sharon that's what he lives for. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was such a pleasure to catch up.
Thank you.
This episode of Hospitality Design's What I've Learned podcast was brought to you by Global Allies. You can learn more about the company at globalallies.com. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find full episodes and transcripts at hospitalitydesign.com.